And here we go. One more time, we are looking at the ritual of cleansing for the book of Deuteronomy. For the record, there is one more sermon about it after this one. One more. We're almost there. You're not smiling. You're all sitting there going, Come on, wake up. Let's play. Okay, it's sermon time. Let's enjoy this. Okay, at least I'm going to enjoy it. Don't care what you do, I guess. Last week, at the end of the sermon, we left the man who had been cleansed of the infectious skin disease, pronounced clean, the ritual of cleansing done, clothes all washed and bright, body shaved of every piece of hair, sitting at his own front door, but absolutely forbidden from entering his own house. Understand that he had been cleansed from the disease. God had granted him healing. He was entirely free of the problem. But he was still sitting outside his own front door, not allowed to enter his own house. And today, one whole week later, as we begin this sermon, there he still sits. He has not gone into his own house for 7 whole days. And you might well be asking, it is his house. He owns it. He has been cleansed of the disease which forced him to leave it. For 7 whole days, he has been pronounced clean. And yet there he sits. You might ask why. And I'll bet you he was too. The whole community of Israel must have been asking that question. And throughout the ages, people like us, having read the story, ask, why? Why did this man have to sit at his own front door, forbidden to enter his own house for 1 whole week after he had been pronounced clean? I know some of you. You wouldn't have done it. So why? Why must he sit there? Are you ready? Here is the answer. Get ready. Jot this down. It is profound. Thank you for smiling, James. Nobody else did. He, the man, had to apply personally what God said propositionally. It's deep. You got to struggle with it a little bit. Now, what had God said propositionally? You are healed. And the man was healed. And now the healed man had to in such a way as to acknowledge that God had healed him and that he was, in fact, healed. See, we have this way of accepting the things that God has done for us and then just sort of going on as if nothing had happened at all, don't we? God heals us from the plight of sin, which is what the infectious disease represents. We know that. We know that we have been healed. We quietly thank him. And then we just go on with life as if nothing had happened at all. As if what God did for us was no big deal. But that is never the case. Whatever God provides is in fact a big deal. Folks, listen to me. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that people like you and me might live. That am one big deal. It is propositionally true. And what we are supposed to do is to act in a way that acknowledges personally our acceptance of the proposition. So at the end of the first week, after sitting outside his own house, his body entirely shaved of hair, even his eyebrows gone, on the eighth day, on the beginning of the second week, to show that he freely and openly acknowledges and accepts his cure as God's gift, to apply personally what God proclaimed propositionally, the guy must get up on the eighth day and wash his clothes all over again. And then he must shave off all his hair again, even his eyebrows. He must go to the tabernacle and offer the usual sacrifices, showing his desire to be forgiven by God. And then he may resume his normal life. Now, when the guy makes the usual sacrifices, an unusual thing happens. The Bible says that the priest takes some of the blood from the animal sacrificed, and he puts some of the blood on the person who has been cleansed. He puts it on his right earlobe, on the guy's right thumb, and on the right toe of his big foot. The big toe of his right foot. I got it. That you thought was profound. Now, we saw this same thing done once before in our study of the book of Leviticus. It was back in chapter 8, when the priests were first ordained and the sacrifices were made during the service of ordination. Moses did the same thing. He took some of the blood from the sacrificed animal and he put it on the earlobe, the thumb, and the right toe on the big foot of each of... I did that the same way again, didn't I? You got it. There was an article on television about Bigfoot today. It's got me hooked. Now, when we studied that passage, I told you then that ordination was the process by which the priest were declared holy. Holy means to be set aside for God's use. That's all it means. It's a holy thing is something which has been set aside, reserved for the use of God. I told you then that the ear, the blood put on the ear, meant that these priests set aside for God's use would listen to the instructions that came from the mouth of God. I told you that the blood on their thumb meant that they would do what God told them to do. And I told you that the blood on their toe meant that they would go where God told them to go. And of course, you remember all of that. That's what it means to be set aside for God's use, to be holy. To be holy means that we are resolved to listen to the voice of God and to do what God says and to go where God sends. And now the man who has received the gift of God's grace, who has been set free, healed from the disease, a metaphor for sin, was being set aside as if he were a priest. He was being declared holy, set aside for God's use. Because God, in his grace, had saved him. Now that's what happens to us when we understand what God has done for us. When at last we understand the full impact of God's grace on our future, when we personally accept the propositional truth that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to save us, our life is forever changed because we understand that we have been bought with a price, a great price, the blood of the Son of God. And like the priest of Israel, like the man cured from the sin disease, we are made holy by that blood. We are set aside for God's use. That's what Jesus meant when he said, if you love me, you will obey me. The propositional truth of our salvation is confirmed. It is accepted personally when we choose to live life God's way. It's what Paul meant when he said, behold, you are a new creature. The new has come and the old is gone. It is what Peter meant when he said, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. See, God has healed us. He has freed us from sin. It cost him dearly to set you free. The proposition is true. In Jesus, you are saved, bought with a great price. But like the man seated at the door of his house, the proposition does not affect you until you accept it personally. And when that happens, you will be resolved to obey. You will listen for the voice of God to instruct you. You will be resolved in your mind and in your heart to do whatever it is he says. You will go where he sends you. Because you've been bought with a price. And the proposition God has declared, you are saved and set free, has touched your heart. Oh, man. Do you know why he had to sit there for 7 days? Some of us are slow. It takes a whole long time for us to grab on to the truth God has proclaimed.